Why would I make content that's going to invite Paul Beetlejuice Oligus to get in my fucking comment section and harass my followers?
No.
Why would I do that?
I have a question.
What?
We've talked about piss girls and pee girls on the channel, right?
I feel like we've talked about piss girls and pee pee girls, yeah.
Okay. We have, right? Have we?
If you're new or you don't remember.
Do you want to explain it real quick?
There was a TikTok a while ago about the difference between piss girls and pee pee girls.
Yep.
Piss girls being the people who will absolutely stretch the limits of their biology in between bathroom breaks. And so that when you go piss girl. Whereas pee-pee girls are the girls also
pee-pee girls
not
are the
actually
planners.
This is not just about girls, it's a joke, it's like a colloquialism.
You understand,
just because I know there's gonna be people in my comments, but pee-pee girls are the people who they'll go pee-pee before they leave the house, before we drive somewhere, before, you know, oh hold on, before we sit down to watch the TV show, I gotta
you
go pee.
Keep saying we, I feel like you're outing me. Do you want to share our...
I think people on the channel are probably well aware at this point that I'm very much a piss girl.
You have piss girl energy, honestly.
Yeah.
If we're being...
Yeah.
What energy
it's kind
do
of
I
an
have?
Interesting, like, litmus, like, social litmus to see, like, from the outside, can you predict whether somebody's a piss girl or a pee-pee girl?
My best friend is such a piss girl.
Yeah.
Definitely. We'll be working and be like, I have to piss right now.
Yep.
And I'm like, what, like, we just got out here, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, did you not? Whereas I'm like, oh... You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm a pee-pee girl.
Yes.
But I've actively, I don't want to be a piss girl per se.
Sure.
But I have been, because I've heard you need to, like, train your bladder a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, I don't know where we read it or not, but, like, when you feel like you have to go to the bathroom, like, mm-hmm. your body becomes more sensitive to that. Or
yeah. So what happens?
Like Pavlov, your...
Yeah, what happens is that basically when you go pee, I think, anyways, I'm not a biologist or a doctor, but...
Welcome to the pod.
I think what happens is that basically where the threshold at which you empty your bladder becomes the norm for your bladder. So if you have a habit of emptying your bladder when it's not fully full, then you will experience the sense of urgency around needing to go to the bathroom that other people experience when their bladder is actually full.
Totally.
So your bladder can be like 25% full, but you feel like you're going to piss your pants, except that it's just because you're sort of, it's like a muscle memory thing or something.
I don't know why or how. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just wanted to share that with
you're
you
trying
guys.
To be less of a pee-pee girl.
Yeah. And so wish me luck.
I feel like it's working though.
I feel like it is too. I used to
you're
not
less
be able
anxious
to,
about it.
I used to not, I'd be like, oh, we can't go anywhere. I have to do a tinkle real quick.
Not a tinkle.
And now I'll like actively be like, okay, I gotta go to the bathroom, but like we're gonna go run some fucking errands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
wait.
You just forget about it.
Yes.
Like you just it just goes away.
Exactly.
Like,
that's what
you
I'm
just
telling you.
Distract yourself.
Yes. That's
welcome
what I'm
to
saying.
The pod.
Well, yeah, welcome, by the way. This is, we should unpack this. If you're new here, hi. Thanks for coming.
I think full disclosure,
yeah.
And I love just being honest with you guys because I know you guys can always take it.
Yeah.
We have filmed this episode before.
We sure
actually,
have.
This really, honestly, is kind of spanning from we spent 2.5 hours
mm-hmm.
filming the Reacts video to
the
24 hours
with Bethy from Girl Defined thing.
Yes.
And that video got canned.
And it got canned. And so we're going to talk about that today. But just in all fairness and all honesty, if I ask Mickey a question like, hey, did we talk about this yet or not? That is why.
It's
and
because we've already filmed
sure
this once and we canned the episode.
On the same page. So it's not like, wow, does Aaron have a fucking
memory
deficit?
Aaron's having a neurological event.
Oh, I read there was a study done that the effects of COVID.
Yeah, you were talking
about
this.
Because I know for a fact, like my short-term memory, like my RAM is low. Sometimes I'm like, what the fuck did I just eat like an hour ago?
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a correlation between COVID, having had COVID, and there's an IQ, a bit of an IQ drop, and your short-term memory definitely... can
it's
be affected.
So scary.
I know.
Is also too like for the people who in the early stages of us realizing that we were in the midst of a global pandemic would say things about like, oh well, once everyone gets it, it won't be a big deal. Like, no, wrong, because like it was a mass disabling event, yeah. essentially what happened. Like people with long COVID are experiencing like really detrimental impacts yeah. on their health and things like that. And like, you know, not that being disabled is inherently bad, but it's certainly like not something that a lot of people would have chosen to be subjected to, because you're like discriminated
against.
There's
so much stuff from that time that I'm just like, I cannot believe.
The blasé attitude that people had about it was really disappointing. I mean, still have. It's disappointing.
Speaking of disappointing.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into some?
Yes. So I think let's level set before we get into this.
As we should.
This episode, I mean, you know, we're Chatty Cathys, you know, that we love to chit chat with you guys. But this is more of a board meeting.
State of the Union. Kind of Welcome, board situation. Members. Hello. Yeah.
In case you didn't know, you're the board members
the
here.
The snort a snod.
The snod assembly.
It's not assembly.
We are having a little bit of a conversation about the state of things.
It'll probably be a big conversation, honestly.
Yeah. And also just like some questions for you guys about like the future direction of
our
like content pillars and stuff. Yeah. So let's start with the like 24 hours with Paul and Morgan.
Yes.
Debacle. That
I didn't even get to like actually watch it because I just watched you watch it.
Yeah.
It's very meta. Just there's so many decisions that have been made, that were made. I think
Aaron is so critical of other people's content production.
A business perspective. I guess my two cents, not that I know anything. I guess we just have two businesses, so I guess we know a little something about that.
We've had a few failed businesses too, so I'd like to think that we've learned some things.
I have. And I think the like key rule number one is like generally a good, I don't know though, because in business, it doesn't matter. That's nuts and bolts.
Trust
Anyways,
yourself.
I think with content especially, it's always such an interesting take to me to try something new that you can't afford to do without any rationale or reasoning, or I guess like proof of like people will want to consume this.
There's no proof of concept here.
Yes. And so it's just interesting that like we're gonna go fly around and jet around and hang out with people and then ask for people to help fund this project that nobody asked for while you're like about to have
a new child
and
unplanned
like
child,
need money and stuff. So
Aaron has strong opinions about that.
I do. I feel bad saying it out loud too, but
I mean,
you know,
like, listen,
it's just a mood.
This is the thing about this that I guess is mostly because we've talked about this obviously privately.
We have talked about
in
it privately.
Our own lives. Oh my God,
I just
threw up in my mouth.
You actually just threw up in your mouth?
Yeah, I'm sure if you watch that back on camera, you'll see a tiny bit of vomit peek its way out of my mouth there. I almost vomited like on myself.
I'm not gonna lie, I have not heard that sound before.
Wow. That felt like a burp and then puke came out.
Fun. So far we got piss and now puke. Hopefully no more fluids this episode.
If you're an acid reflux girly, then you know,
shout out.
You get it. you get it.
Anyways,
we've talked about this privately in our own lives, which is the like hypocrisy, the inherent hypocrisy in being the we believe in the sanctity of life people.
Yes.
While simultaneously making financial decisions that put your family in danger of being destitute simply because you refuse to seek out employment that provides you with more consistent and stable income.
Totally.
You know, like I just don't respect the like very obvious vitriol and judgment from these two when like the truth is that they've admitted on camera that like their channel is not making them enough money anymore and like views are down and whatever, and the choice is to start a project that they can't get off the ground without leaning heavily on their followers for funding. Like a sudden cash influx. Like,
it's giving grifting.
It's also not a good business decision, you know, because like the reality is if you want to start a project that you don't have money for, then you can like take 6 months to save some money and to like also plan, you know, like have conversations with the people that you want to collab with and make a schedule and figure out to what degree this is financially feasible. Like at what interval are we flying places and scheduling out the content and all these things, and then like batch some content so that it's, you know, not like a we have to get on a plane right now where we run out of content kind of a thing. thing.
Yeah.
But like, apparently we didn't make any of those decisions.
But I think also in speaking of decisions that were made there, like we watched TikToks with better audio, like buy a fucking USB mic, like buy the little
itty-bitty, shotgun mics or like, the lapel mics. Yeah.
Why we didn't think about like maybe filming in a car in traffic isn't like the mood we think it is. And like yeah. where your interviewee can't, unless you're like going for like you can, it can be done in sure. a way, but also it just feels like we took our cell phone with us and it's fine. Like that's fine. There's nothing wrong with low quality production.
Sure.
But it's just interesting to make such a hubbub about this thing.
Yeah.
And then be like, we have our cell phone.
Yeah.
Like there's very much cheap alternatives to having decent audio.
And that's the thing that again too is like we are leaning on our followers really heavily to finance this project, but we can't be bothered to buy a $30 lapel mic.
Like, I don't know, just record inside of like they were literally at Girl Defined Studio.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. hey, do you want to do a couple, like, is it sound like...
Yes. And I understand that it's meant to be, like, a sort of vlog format, but, like, totally, there are lots of people who make vlogging content that's really high quality.
Like, buy a shotgun mic.
Yeah.
I don't... Or I just... They're, like, they're $30.
Equipment that's, like, specifically made and for this.
Like,
and also, like, a windsock for your fucking
so much
camera.
So. Also, don't film in a park with kids around and talk about... Whatever.
Yeah.
I think we should actually start talking about the content of it. I get lost up in the nuts and bolts.
Yeah. The... explanation, I guess, about like why we ended up canning that video is sort of at the heart of like why we're having this conversation today, which is that I feel weird about making critical content of like these fundamentalist people specifically.
Okay.
Not about like fundamentalism generally or about religious trauma or about purity culture and deconstruction.
Totally.
I enjoy talking about those things. I'm going to continue.
It's passionate. It's your passion. Continue passionate
talking about
it.
Those things. Yeah. But I think like the React style content to like Paul and Morgan and Dave and Bethy and all these people specifically is starting to feel a little bit weird. So we wanted to have a conversation with everybody today.
Yes.
To like update you guys first and foremost about like what I'm feeling, like what feels important to me.
Yeah.
And also to like straight up ask our community, like what feels uplifting to you
as board members. What, you do have a say so here.
Yes. We're polling the board, in regards to the topics of, you know, religious fundamentalism, high control religious groups, deconstruction, trauma, all those things.
Yeah.
Like what are the types of content that you want to see from me? What feels like it's providing you the most positive benefit
because
in your life.
You are passionate about those things and they're pertinent and they hit close to home and like you very much in your own practice, like you work with people a lot that have
it's like a core part of my practice as a clinician,
exactly.
like in real life now.
And like clients that you know have
gone through that process. I've taken like specific trainings about this. Like it's something I've made a conscientious effort to educate myself about and that like, you know, I'm passionate about it.
And I think it just goes it deserves to be said again though, is that the fundies themselves as people, like, they're not, like, you're talking about them in the sense that you're talking about these actions and these things in this culture, but it's not necessarily about them per se. Like, the content exists on its own without them. They're just in a good way to, like, it's the same way when we watch Love is Blind.
I was literally about to say
that. And we watch someone be really shitty to someone. You're like, here's a great example
of
why
like,
this is a fucking shitty thing to do to someone.
This is what, like, bad communication breakdown looks
Here's
like.
Here's how you can... work
fix
on that,
that
to not
in your
have
own
this
life.
Happen in your own life.
Exactly, But so the other part of this conversation that can't be ignored, I suppose, is the Dave and Bethy video that recently went up, which to be clear, I am going to talk about that on the main channel.
Probably this week?
Yeah, I think so. Because to me, that feels like there's new conversation to be had.
Yes.
And like new information for us to be like dissecting.
There's like some nuance there to tease, I think.
Yes.
This is not as cut and dry. This is not your regularly programmed fundy stuff.
Yeah. So that will be its own separate thing because I don't necessarily want to devote this whole podcast episode to that either.
That's fair. Yeah. It's kind of like the general theme of things.
Yes. Yeah. But I do want to address it too, because for those of you who aren't aware, by the way, Bethany Beal is married to Dave Beal. And Dave spoke on this video with him and Bethany on their little shared YouTube channel about how he has been deconstructing, right? Like in the 24 hours with video, I guess there was a moment, I don't remember this, but I guess there was a moment where Paul said that Dave is like not a real Christian or something. And there was some backlash about like, how dare you say that? And so Dave wanted to make a video, I guess, to set the record straight that like he said that because I'm not a Christian anymore, basically. That like, I think what he said in the video was like, Paul's right. I'm not a good example of what a Christian is because I'm deconstructing from religion, basically. And I guess the perspective there is that he's like not so much deconstructing in the like religion is a sham and Christianity is a lie kind of way, but more so of a, like, some of these things aren't lining up. Some of these questions I have haven't been answered. And so I'm like seeking the truth, is what he's saying. He's like not one way or the other about whether he's wanting to like delve back into Christianity or whatever. He's like in the research phase, I guess. All of that is besides the point. But the reason we're talking about that is because there is also some nuance, I think, in like, what do we do now, right?
Because like, in all honesty, wouldn't this be kind of like a mission accomplished moment?
Yeah, like, a little bit.
You know,
I think, yes, this is also like at the heart of the conversation, which is that when we make content, I know this is sort of hokey maybe, but like, I don't know, it matters to me. I try to reflect on like what my greater reason is. Like, what's my why for this particular piece of content, or like the content pillars on the channel. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? You know,
why is content getting made?
Yeah. And so when talking about somebody like Bethany and Dave, who like, you know, they're in the middle of this deconstruction. And also too, there was like some actually really sweet and tender moments between the two of them. It seems like they are very much in transition right now.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible that this situation will cause Bethany to like double, triple, quadruple down on the fundamentalism.
I think you made mention that it's like, it really can only go three ways.
Yeah.
Either like it gets you double, like double down more.
Uh-huh. She's going to like fully deconstruct, or we're just going to exist in this limbo of like, I refuse to acknowledge that my husband's not a Christian anymore. Business as usual on the girl defined front, obviously, which is like not great. But the reason that I'm having a little bit of an ethical quandary about this whole situation is that there was a moment in the 24 hours with video where I think it was Bethany and Kristen. We're talking about how like, you know, we're never going to deconstruct and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think
that's never happening. And also because, you know, she was saying like, we refuse to apologize, which is a take, because it's like, it'll never be good enough. For
the haters.
The snarkers or whatever. And so for me, in this moment, as a person who's like, you know, I make content about this somewhat regularly, I would say, my desire is to make content that's like uplifting for you guys, obviously, and that like provides you guys positive benefit, but also isn't contributing to like worsening the state of affairs, right?
Totally,
like there is fine line for fundamentalist content because they all seem to have this persecution fetish, right? This like, this
we are the most
complex.
It's like oppression Olympics a little bit.
Yes,
like,
And it's like it's a little bit contentious, right? Like this balance of like, wanting to make content that's critical of like things that suck, obviously using those examples for the purpose of educating and, you know, empowering and validating and all of that, while also not feeding this persecution complex and making it worse, right? But and like, causing these people to double, triple and quadruple down and share even more harmful shit and spread even more misinformation and disinformation.
And just make the whole thing of it worse.
Yeah, I think there's just a question of personal responsibility for me about like, if I continue to make content that's really critical of, you know, Bethany specifically, because let's be honest, Dave's not really on the internet.
Yeah.
Am I potentially going to contribute to Bethany being leaning more towards the doubling, tripling, quadrupling
down? Like, see, you proved me right. Like,
See, my husband's deconstructing and you guys still hate
me. It's still not enough.
And so therefore, I'm going to share even more rancid bullshit on the internet. And not that, like, her content creation is my responsibility necessarily. Like, I don't think that's fair. But I guess my hope is that, like, with the content that we're making, that we're, like, putting good into the universe.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
because I think that's just kind of the thing with the snark.
You're more critical of it than I am, for sure.
Okay, because, like, again, I just, as someone who's, like, very surface level aware.
On the outside.
It kind of reminds me of, like, the Taylor Swift thing where, like, you hate something. Not for me personally. I actually, like, I forgot to mention this too. I thought about it yesterday because we were at a party.
What?
And someone said something about Taylor Swift, and I was like,
"Oh yes."
Has anyone else noticed? Where has she been?
Radio silence.
Just silence.
Yeah.
I have not. Like,
I didn't notice that.
She just. It's like she kind of just stopped existing a little bit. Yeah. And I think all that.
Do you think that's intentional?
I wonder that. I can't tell if we're just hunkering down because there's all that bad press.
Real bad PR couple of weeks.
But it's just like it's kind of that thing where like when you like nitpick something so much to death that you like in a roundabout way become like a fan.
Yes. So it's, like, yeah, it's giving fan behavior for sure at a certain point.
So like
we talked about this with the Jimmy Chelsea thing on Love is Blind too.
Yeah.
Those people in the subreddit who like went out of their way to draw this cartoon of Chelsea because they apparently hate her so much.
Yeah,
but like she's apparently living rent free in your mind to the degree that you dedicated this time to draw an illustration and make this comic.
Yes, which
about
is not
her.
A meme template. It was not anything you hand drew.
Yes.
This piece of media.
Yeah.
Like that, I would assume would have spent. You didn't. It was not a quick sketch either.
No, like, I mean, it was a well-made illustration.
I highly doubt it was done in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it just felt weird.
It's a big
fan behavior
I think just that with me, when you nitpick something so much, like the bitch eating crackers thing we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
for those of you who aren't aware, by the way, the phrase bitch eating crackers is just a commentary about like snark communities.
Yeah.
That sometimes it gets to a point where anything that this person does is seen through this hypercritical lens to the point where like we'll see not actually but like posts being made about like, did you see this bitch eating crackers, like look at how she eats her crackers, and like that's not a useful or productive critique of this person's behavior,
because it's like it's the energy, the like core of it really isn't that any different than like fangirling or, you know.
Well, and also too, the you know, like vitriolic nature of it sometimes does feel somewhat similar to people who like will make these really awful and misogynistic comments about Taylor Swift or, you know, like Chelsea from Love is Blind or whatever, that like you hate this person so much that you're like contributing actually a lot of really like hateful energy into the universe.
Well, it's
you
the
know?
Something on TikTok too with like gym bros and shit too, where like you're people who are so fucking worried about what fat people are doing and stuff.
Yes.
And it's like, just say you're fucking obsessed.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
that,
you know,
like
what I mean?
This is your life's work, apparently, is to talk about how much you hate fat women. That you talk about it all the time.
Like that's
okay. You know,
you want to unpack that or
exactly,
you know?
Yes. And to be clear, I know that for a lot of people, like the snark community is a validating place. And I don't want to shit on that because I think that's fair, right?
Yeah.
There is like a valid and righteous anger.
Absolutely.
In seeing people talk about this like religious structure that has caused a lot of us like pretty poignant and life-changing trauma.
You were very much
that's,
there. You,
yes.
You were like one, you were honestly like one girl defined video away from being like, like our life could look very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I, like, again, I want to honor the validity of that. And I'm not saying that all the people who are in the snark community are that way, because I don't think that's true at all.
It's always the same thing where like there's a small subsect of the already
minority.
Niche community who is just,
Yeah. But all of that to say that at a certain point I started to feel like I was kind of becoming that person.
Yeah. After we like, filmed that last,
there was a moment in, this is why the 24 hours with video got canned. There's a couple of reasons, but one of them is that while we were filming, I like have such a vivid memory. I like looked up at you and I was like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it was after you'd gotten mad. There was like a real.
Yeah. And because I, like, in reflecting on how the video was going and all of this stuff, it became very clear to me that there was nothing new for me to dissect in these people's viewpoints, that it was me getting angry about the same shit that I had gotten angry about in the past.
That you've said before.
And that I've already tried to educate about, right? That I've already tried to correct misinformation and disinformation around, that I've already tried to, like, put some good into the universe about this. And so I was like, what am I doing? I remember you and I were sitting having dinner together, actually. And I told you I was starting to feel like, you know that scene in Mean Girls?
Yes.
Where Katie Heron, she's like, she's in too deep.
Yeah.
And
like how I said yes before you said what it was going to be.
You know.
We filmed it. Remember how I said? We already talked about it. I can read your mind.
There's this scene in Mean Girls where she's talking to Janice while Janice is at work.
Yeah.
And she says the thing about like, oh, I have this theory that if you cut all her hair off, she'd look like a British man. And Janice, like, so bored, is like, yeah, I know, you told me that one.
You told me.
So Katie has this inner monologue about like, I could hear people getting bored with me, but like, she's like, I can't stop, like I couldn't stop talking about it. And not that you're bored with me, I'm not saying that that's why
I found it
problematic.
I would listen to you talk about anything forever for the rest of my life. Like, let's be real,
that's very nice.
Also, if there's some shit to talk about, we'll dissect that. There's that TikTok, you're like, when there's one new little minute detail and so you have to talk about the whole goddamn thing again for hours.
That's
like
us.
Very much us.
But I started to feel a little bit like I'm in too deep here.
You were eating crackers.
Yeah. And also, too, like, there's an aspect because, you know, I've talked on the podcast before about how high about how I was like fundy light at one point in my life.
Oh, very much. You have a giant cross on your leg. Yeah. I don't think people realize how big that leg tattoo is.
It's a giant tattoo.
It is waist to knee.
I need to get it fixed.
I don't know if people have seen that. Yeah.
I have to explain it every time I match with someone on a dating app. It's so embarrassing.
I'm not religious. It's not like that.
But anyways, I just started to feel like I'm in too deep here. And also, like, this is not good for my brain. Like, there was a point at which I started to feel like this is taking up so much of my mental space that it's like causing me harm.
Oh.
Being this angry about something that, like, let's be honest, is not going to go away.
No,
you know,
I think that's,
there's like a fine balance there.
Well, and how many times can you say?
Yeah.
And I think because I never ever police. You can consume and watch and do, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I genuinely don't care. Mm-hmm. But I this is like the first time I've ever been like, hey, I think it's time to unsubscribe.
Yeah. Which I did from that subreddit.
Yeah.
And I feel so much better. I feel so much better.
It becomes consuming, I think, too, because also there's this aspect of the, like, not needing more, I guess, or like the upping the ante kind of.
Yeah.
Or
there's almost a FOMO to it of like you're missing out on whatever most recent happenings
wild, crazy.
In the fundy snark world is. And like it shouldn't matter. Yeah. It shouldn't matter to you.
I think, too, the other conversation we had, too, like when is it punching down?
Yeah, that's we've been having that conversation for a while.
Yeah.
Because I know that, like, you know, because our channel, as we're recording this, I think we're at like 150-something.
We're not a big channel by any, like.
No, we're still like considered micro-influencers. But Paul and Morgan and Girl Defined specifically have both been sitting static at 159 for a while.
Yeah.
And I know this because I've been looking, because I have also a lot of anxiety about punching down.
Also, that's like, what a stat you just keep on your brain. Like, also,
Yeah,
you know.
But like, it's because I have a lot of anxiety about like, are we doing the wrong thing?
Yeah, like, are we being bold? Like, at what point is it?
I'm not saying that, like, once we hit 159 or, like, 160,
that,
like, now because we have 1,000 more followers that we're punching down. Like, I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
By and large, at that point, we would still be peers, right? But I think at some point in the, I mean, I would hope, like, somewhat near future.
Yeah, I would hope too.
The channel, like, our channel is continuing to grow. And so we're going to have to answer this question for ourselves that, like, at what point do I need to call it? Because now I'm, like, bullying and weaponizing an audience that's larger than theirs for the purpose of, like, what? Like, that's the other thing that I struggle with too, right? Is that like there, I think, is a whole world of use in discussing critically, like, fundamentalist religion and all these things, right?
I stand by that. It's been so helpful and validating and confirming for people and
But also, like, again, I want the content that I'm making to be continuing to provide people with a new benefit, right?
Something ideally, we talk about transformative content, essentially, like, but just, or like tools or something to give people something tangible that they can use and apply in their own life.
Yes. And I don't know that making content about Paul and Morgan and Girl Defined and all of these people is necessarily, like, serving that purpose anymore. Because, again, like, at a certain point, it does kind of feel like I've said what I need to say here about these people specifically. And, like, how can I then make this conversation be about something that isn't about these people specifically, you know? Because, again, there's, like, a whole world of benefit in, like, I mean, we've made a lot of videos recently about, like, you know, overcoming purity culture trauma and, like, religious deconstruction and all of these things that, like, you know, if you look at the channel history over the last couple of months, we've kind of been, like, leaning away from
React's
content on purpose.
After the Paul and Morgan fiasco, I really just the Paul thing.
Yeah, that's another.
Actually, we can just talk about that for a second too.
Yeah,
Mr. being in everyone's guts over here trying to.
Yes. So
yeah,
Let's be clear about a couple of things. The first of which is that Paul and Morgan have been in timeout on purpose. I think that for me, after the whole kerfuffle with, like, Paul making a reaction video to us and all of this stuff. And him trying to, like, hit me up to get on a Zoom call or whatever.
Also, don't start with the devil's advocate shit. Like,
no, yes, exactly. Yeah. That whole situation made me keenly aware of, like, what I think are Paul's motivations. I mean, it seems like they're somewhat transparent.
Yeah.
Because Paul and Morgan.
Not exactly a subtle individual.
No. Paul and Morgan, you know, I think it's mostly Paul because Morgan doesn't seem particularly interested in like the YouTube stuff.
I'll be curious if Morgan, I mean, I can't imagine after having another, like,
yeah.
We have trouble with the channel.
Just the two of us.
With just pets.
Yeah.
Let alone children. I can't imagine.
Well, and Paul seems to be the one who's like most committed to like, we're making a living off of YouTube.
Yeah, which like, I get it.
Sure. But like that man is feverishly trying to resuscitate the dead body that is their YouTube channel. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm not saying that because I'm being like a, like my channel is more successful. I'm not saying it from that.
It's also, these are not the same.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also too, like we're keenly aware of the fact that our channel could dry up tomorrow, right? Like we are very much at the whims of the internet and the algorithm.
I've never stopped working I would like to not work my real.
No. Yeah. I would like that too, obviously. Job. But I'm not saying that to be like a piece of shit.
Totally.
I'm just saying that like Paul seems to be really gunning for like finding anything to stick. Like they are both, I mean, mostly Paul, desperately
like
seeking some, cause they're grasping at straws to try to keep the channel alive. And this most recent 24 hours with is like such a transparent attempt to capitalize on the platforms and the community and also the engagement that people in the snark community get on their videos, right?
Yeah.
Like if you look at the ratios between like Paul's video and like the or I guess Paul and Morgan's, but the views and the comments and the engagement on their original video versus anybody else in the commentary sphere, those, I mean, they're getting ratioed like real bad, you know?
Like you have to do any analytic digging to
see that. Obvious. And I think that is like at the heart of why they're making this content. They are aware that people in our commentary niche are getting a lot more views and engagement than they are. And they're trying to bait our audiences into engaging with them, right? Even though like we've made a pretty clear stance on this channel, at least that like, please don't go watch their videos on YouTube, like at least watch it on Invidious or something like in a way that doesn't help them profit off of the content, off of their bigotry, essentially.
Yeah.
There are still people who will go and watch that video. And like, in my opinion, that's not an accident, you know? And so like after this whole kerfuffle that we had where Paul tried to like reach out to us and get us to like make a video with him and whatever, I was really hesitant to make this piece of commentary about the 24 hours with episode because like I think I looked at you and I was like, I don't think this is a good enough reason to take them out of timeout.
That's what, no, we literally had that conversation the same thing I said where I was just like, this just feels like the same shit with like a different backdrop.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah. There were some interesting bits in there about Dave's deconstruction and all of that stuff. But I was like, that's not really.
But also,
like,
too, the conversations were so drawn out and long.
Yeah.
Like to get a clip of it from anything.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like that's how like real conversations and stuff work. Like
I get that. Yeah.
But like to react to like, I think that's the other thing, too, because like, gosh, I know this might be like splitting hairs or something when people take React content and they don't actually add anything of value to it.
Oh,
like
yes.
Where we like, I'm not saying like we're splitting hair or like it is splitting hairs. Like we do make React content, but like also you make it with the intent, purpose to like provide value and transformative
media.
Yes, no,
that's valid, I think. No, I think you're right though, because like, you know, I don't want to sound like an asshole who's like blowing smoke up my own ass, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, I care and like stand behind the content that we've made. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it.
Of course.
But I hear what you're saying. I think there is like an aspect of React's content that can feel like lazy in the sense that like, especially people who aren't trying to add anything of value.
Yeah.
They're just like making loud noises in response to something that someone else has said.
Well, and I feel like too, it's like the nitpicky thing.
Because
also too, they haven't said anything new.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like
which is like, I think the point that you're trying to make, which is that I'm fearful of falling into that category where once a month we make a video where I just make loud noises and angry facial expressions at these people without adding any value or like, especially too, to like try to capitalize off of that and like, for what?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when we make content that I feel like we're adding some kind of positive value into people's lives or like into the universe, then I feel okay about talking critically about Paul and Morgan or A Girl Defined or, you know, Matt Walsh or whoever the fuck. Because again, we're trying to like have this transformative conversation about it. But if I'm not providing my audience with any like good feedback or transformative information or like anything of value, but I'm asking you to engage with a video that's going to be emotionally dysregulating for you, that feels fucked up.
It feels kind
of
shitty. Also,
I don't like that. I think the other part of this situation too that's important to talk about is the invitation.
Okay.
That making content, especially about Paul and Morgan at this point, seems to come along with, because I mean, we already talked about how I think Paul and Morgan, Paul specifically, is trying to capitalize off of the audiences of people in the commentary snark community.
I mean, they're clearly aware of the like views.
Yes,
and the view
they're keenly aware of that. Yeah. But the other part about this that really irritates the fuck out of me,
yeah,
and part of why I've made the decision to gray rock Paul and Morgan specifically, yeah, is because this man is like really out here being in people's comment sections, harassing their followers. I mean, harassing is a strong word, but like you said something about it earlier too. And like, oh, this is the thing that specifically gets me is the like devil's advocate thing, or
oh,
the like,
I did.
It's a very white cis male take of like, I'm just asking questions. I mean, hey,
what, bro?
Hey, can't we just have a conversation just person to person? Can't we just have people? A reasonable chit chat? Because I'm being reasonable. And like, fuck you. No, you're
fake.
Not.
Because it's fake.
Yes. But also too, like what you're asking for is not the same. You're asking for people in my community to be nice to you when you and your wife have made the very public statement emphatically that you believe that people who have identity factors like me and in my community,
yes,
deserve to die in eternal hellfire.
Like, why would we invite that?
Go fuck yourself.
Why would you invite that into
well, but like, I mean, like, yes, but also like, no, I don't owe you fucking kindness. Get the fuck out of my comment section,
dog. Like,
those
are not the fucking same.
Yes, and so like, knowing that he's going to do that is like very much an incentive for me to not make that content.
Yeah.
Because like, we've worked very hard. And when I say we, I mean like
our
community,
board.
Like not just us, but like, you guys, like, you guys are so nice to each other.
Oh my God, the Discord has proven that. Also,
yes,
like,
especially in the Discord.
Also, I just wanted to like real shout out real quick.
What?
All the body doubling and stuff is just
yes,
like warming my heart. But
it's
also
so nice.
Too, we saw, no names will be named, mm-hmm, but we saw someone offering something similar to that, or like trying to, for hundreds of dollars a month.
Yeah.
Like someone for real was like trying. I'm not saying they're copying us by any means, or they're even aware of
things. No.
But just like a very similar neurodivergent
very, like,
thing.
Corporate.
But like, yes, like we were girl bossing.
Yes.
Trying to force the community.
Yes. It was like the corporate girl boss equivalent of our Discord server. And again, not that I don't think they got that idea from us, because it's not
a
novel idea.
At all. Like, not even like you guys created this, not us.
Yeah, I don't even know how this happened.
Abundantly clear.
But the community that we've developed here, like, you guys were really like pouring into each other's lives and being so sweet. And like, you know, you guys have like flown across the country
and
across
other
countries to visit each other,
yes,
which is so fucking cool. So why would I make content that's going to invite Paul Beetlejuice Oligus to get in my fucking comment section and harass my followers?
No.
Why would I do that?
No.
For what? For
also,
what?
No.
For a quick buck?
Literally.
Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't want the money then.
Yeah.
I don't want the money. I quite honestly, I'd rather make less money.
Same.
And it not damage my mental
and
health. It not put my community at risk.
Yes.
And it not like further this persecution complex. If that means that I'm making slightly less money every month, then fucking so be it.
Because
like,
everyone here works way too fucking hard.
Yes.
And is way too goddamn nice to each other.
No,
to
literally
not to not give you guys one content that you deserve.
Yes.
To at least like tools and things like something to take
something
with you.
Something valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also too, that's gonna help promote and invite. I'll just keep
I'm neurodivergent.
No, you're fine. But no, to promote this community growth and growing and the values that are important to us.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And when I say us, I mean for real,
like
all
us.
Of us.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the other thing too, that like,
this is precious. This is.
Yes. Well, and I've seen so many people say things about how like, I don't know how your community is like this, because I haven't seen community like this since like the early days of the internet.
No, yeah.
And like stuff like that, like simultaneously warms my heart. And also like, I'm like shaking in my boots about it, because I'm like so anxious about like that changing or like going away. And like, I just don't want to incorporate any risk that I don't have to at like destabilizing or fucking up that dynamic in that community.
It's our little baby.
Well,
it's
and it
baby.
Is like kind of noteworthy, right? Like, I don't know what the fuck happened, because like, I don't think we did anything. I don't think
no,
it was anything that we did, but like, I have been so like astronomically fucking lucky
to
end up with this community that's like engaged and like so respectful and conscientious and
so
kind
to each,
but also like fun as fuck. Like,
God,
y'all are funny as hell.
And so queer.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's just like, it's like this huge community with like thousands of people who are all like, if I could paint a picture of like my ideal friends, like that's who's in our community.
Literally.
It's crazy.
So many
to
people
me
here should have channels
happened
before us, because y'all are way the fuck.
No, it's crazy.
Cooler
and so
than
I think, especially like thinking about like, this is a very Piscean thing. Listen, Saturn is in Pisces.
It's fine.
And so
Let it out.
I'm like really going through it right now. But there is also an aspect for me of like thinking deeply about like the concept of legacy, right? Which is, fair. I think, maybe a little bit narcissistic. Wow,
that's pretty fucking patriarchal too.
Like, hear me out. Not in the sense of like, you know, having kids or, you know, building like a legacy or whatever. Not that either of those things are bad, but more so in the sense of like when I, in the late stages of my life, when I reflect on the journey that I've had and the interactions that I've had and like the life that I've led.
The stuff you put energy into and effort into.
What is going to be like a standout feature of like what I've contributed to this earth, right? Not in the sense that I'm like fixated on like I want people to remember me or anything, because like the reality is that we all perish to dust and it's fine, right?
And but, everything moves on.
Yeah, I think there's also kind of a freedom in the insignificance of it all.
There is too.
But I feel very strongly about taking this opportunity that we've been provided, which is like astronomical, right? Like, I mean, people toil away with making really good quality content YouTube for years and never get to the subscriber count that we have gotten to. And absolutely. Like, not because we're better at making YouTube content. Yeah. We didn't have a master plan. Like, we just fucking got dumb lucky.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I think about, like, this opportunity that we've been given and all of the, like, stars that have aligned
so many times
for our life to look the way that it does.
Yes.
Like, what do I want to do with that? And I don't know that the answer to that question is to shit on Paul and Morgan or Dave and Bethy for the rest of my life. Like, that feels such a waste of the community and the opportunity that we've been given, especially because, like, again, this is very like Piscean in nature. I've been thinking a lot deeply about like the universe and the ether and all of this stuff, right?
That's your favorite,
when I think about like the end part of my life, when I reflect on that, I want the feeling for me to be that I've added something into this world.
Yes.
Right? I've like contributed something to people's lives that like matters, you know? Ew, I'm getting emotional about it.
No shame here.
Just from me.
Maybe someday I'll cry on the pod.
That would be really nice. People would probably eat that up.
I do cry.
People
I
love
cry
an emotional
all,
man.
I cry all the time.
But I want to have added something to the world, you know? And I don't want that to be anger and vitriol and hatred. Like, I want the thing that I've added to the world to be like love and kindness and like a sense of peace for people, you know? Like, that's why I care so deeply about the work that I do, because like I want people to walk away from therapy feeling a greater sense of peace.
Oh, you never had a chance. We say that all the time. You never had a chance.
I know my astrology, my birth chart is hilarious.
Yeah. I think too, something else that kind of just like stood out to me right now.
Yeah.
Or as we're talking about this, like looking forward and moving forward and like growing.
Yeah.
As someone who's known you for like what, 14 years? 14?
We've been together for 14 years, but we've known each other since we were, I guess, we've known each other for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing like that, especially that last video too. And I know, like, of course, again, we talk about the righteous anger.
Yes.
But like, it just feels like it feels like stepping back into high school you.
A little bit. Yeah. There's like, an anger there that like doesn't feel like it's at home with like adult me.
And because also too, if we're being honest, again, as we talk about this with fundamentalism and stuff and religion generally, is that like this anger that is being directed at these people, but like it's not really at them. Like that anger comes at like organized religion as a whole. Like you're not, it sounds shitty and fucked up. Like you're using them. It's almost like an outlet to like take your frustrations out with this institution.
Yeah. I don't know if we've said that already in this episode or not.
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever said something so succinct in my whole life, actually.
And that was a very succinct thought.
I'm not quite sure that's me talking right
now. I'm
very
impressed with you. That was also part of
making sure it's me still.
That was also part of the musings for me over the last, like, I don't know, couple of months, I guess, is that at a certain point it started to feel like my own righteous anger, my valid anger about my own religious trauma and the things that I've walked through, and also the anger that I experience at, like, you know, the people who've harmed my clients and things like that was getting taken out on people like Dave and Bethy and Paul and Morgan and Matt Walsh and all, like, whoever the fuck, right? And I don't like that. Yeah. Like, I think there is a much more productive outlet for me to process my own emotions about my own trauma history and my own feelings and whatever, as opposed to using content like this as a vehicle for that. Like, I want to be making more responsible and conscientious choices about like processing my own emotions. You know, I didn't like this part of it. Was like one of those moments where you like see a part of yourself clearly and you're like, ooh,
yeah,
I don't like that.
Well, I think too,
and I need to do something about that.
If
then
you break it down to its core and we like kind of like really get it down to like the structure of it, mm-hmm. you're essentially forcing yourself to watch a piece of content that you know is going to be activating and triggering for you.
Yeah.
And then using that to like it's almost like boxing in a way, or like like a contact sport or something. Like you're using this very activating thing.
Yes. We did also get to a point where like at the end of filming, I would be just out for the count.
Oh,
because just, it's very emotionally taxing being that upset. And like there was a conversation we had actually in the car a couple of days ago, I think, at this point.
We drive around a lot. Who knows?
We do that. Where I was talking to you about like a memory that I had because I had like drawn this parallel in my mind. We're like way back in the day, Jenna Marble sort of sat down with her audience to say like, listen, because at this point in her online career, her like one of her primary content pillars was this like doing X, Y, or Z while drunk.
Yeah.
Right. It was like a really common thing on her channel.
2010 and like, thing to, like that's just, that, I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Someone who grew up that, like that, that's what we were doing.
Yes. And like, I enjoyed the videos at the time, right? I thought they were really funny and I liked them, but she sat down to explain that like, listen, I don't like this anymore.
Yeah.
And not just because like, I don't like it, but she was talking about how it's like really exhausting and like really taxing on her body to get lit the fuck up drunk on a Wednesday during the daytime. Yeah. And then be hung over for like the rest of the day and tomorrow because like that was filming schedule, you know? And so she like basically level set with her audience to say like, we're not doing that anymore because I don't like it, because it's not good for me. And like this kind of feels like that a little bit, where like, I want to be clear, I'm going to continue to make content about religious trauma and deconstruction.
Which is where you
and
guys
like,
come in.
Yes. I would like to know from you guys like what types of content you want to see from me and like what feels uplifting for you. And I also, I think for my own health and for also like my own ethical reasons, need to take some steps back from making content about like these fundamentalist people specifically, right? I think it's entirely possible that I can provide some useful and transformative information without having to engage directly with the fundamentalist influencers in this niche. You
and
know?
I think too, especially, I mean, you're credentialed to do it. You have all, you've gotten specific training for it, and also your experience in session with who, I don't even know, I couldn't even guess how many hours.
Yeah, who knows? This is why I stopped tracking my hours after I got my LCSW, because I don't need to.
Because also, too, at what point, because like, okay, so Dave's deconstructing.
Yeah.
Bethany could go either which way.
Yes.
Paul and Morgan are committed. They're going to keep doing their thing.
It kind of seems
but
that
like,
way,
What it's like this weird dichotomy. It's like a, it's its own little ecosystem.
Yeah.
Fundies make stuff. People react to it.
Yes.
And it just,
there is
like,
almost a symbiotic relationship
I
there in
really,
a way.
I really do wonder if like people just stopped reacting to it. Would it, I'm not saying it would go away, but, and I obviously like, I think that's why I think too, using the channel as a vehicle to share deconstruction and you know, other religious informed
like content
pillars
and niches and whatever
in a way that doesn't revolve around them, like does would, like would they kind of just fade away and like like be yelling
you
into the ether?
I mean, you know? Not that, to be clear, I'm not a fan of Jimmy Snow, but I do remember back in the day before all of the fuckery came out about his behavior.
God, I forgot about all that.
Yeah, I know.
That was years ago now.
Jimmy Snow talked about, I think it was Paul and Morgan actually.
Oh, really?
That he was one of the first people to make videos about them, and it ended up popularizing their channel. Like Paul and Morgan ended up gaining subscribers as a result of that critical commentary. I think it's Paul and Morgan. It might not be Paul and Morgan. It was somebody.
Fundy adjacent.
The,
sure,
the core of what I'm saying is that someone making critical content about a religious influencer meant that their channel got more traction.
Yeah.
And so like this was kind of a similar feeling for me after like the Paul kerfuffle and the 24 hours with and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
That I was like, am I now participating in uplifting this information?
Like, at what point are you making it better? Like, like, are you...
At what point am I making this content more discoverable to people instead of making it go away, in theory?
Because I do wonder that, too. Like, I mean, I had never... I didn't know these people existed until you said, hey, we're going to sit down and...
And talk about this,
film a video about this. And I was like, I mean, obviously, I'm here for whatever you want to film.
Yeah.
But who...
It's a fine line to walk, and I don't want to say that people making critical content about them is inherently bad, because I don't think that's true either,
No.
But at least for me... there was a moment that felt like, ooh, like, yeah, maybe I can address this in a way that just feels like it is more in line with my long-term goals.
Yeah.
And that doesn't run the risk of creating more harm than good.
No, totally.
You know, I just am nervous about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that has to be possible. Otherwise, I don't know.
Clearly it does. I mean, the channel functions.
That's true. Yeah.
Without, so. Yeah.
Anyways, I guess all of that to say that there are going to be some changes in like the type of content that we're making here. And again, I want to be clear, I'm going to continue to talk about religious trauma and deconstruction. Absolutely. And all of these things. And I'm also not saying that like after I put this video up, I'll never talk about Dave and Bethy or Paul and Morgan ever again. You know, like
but when they put something up that's actually like.
Yes, there may be a time that there's something that's like particularly important for us to talk about. And I'm like open to that, you know. I'm not like drawing a hard line in the sand to say like never again. Like, I don't think that's really useful either. But I guess I want to just be more intentional about like when I'm choosing to talk about it. And like it, because I think, I don't know if we said this in this episode, that like there was a point in the 24 hours with video where I was like, this doesn't feel like a good enough reason to take Paul and Morgan out of time out. I mean, and like that is the energy that I want to keep.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's the same. I mean, it's like, I mean, they're pretty consistent. Like, yes. I won't give them credit on a lot of things, but they haven't really, I wouldn't say their views on anything have really changed or like.
No.
I think just the way they say things sometimes is more problematic than others.
Yeah. That's kind of the other thing too about Dave and Bethany that also was like a little bit thought provoking for me, I guess, is that like, you know, I've been pretty outspoken on the channel that I didn't believe that Bethany was deconstructing to any degree, which we're going to talk about this more in the regular video that I'm going to make about them. But I think I was wrong. I think, you know, Bethany is actually I mean, she's talked about like in her most recent Instagram story, I think, that she has deconstructed certain aspects of her faith. And she says in the Dave and Bethy video that she doesn't like the word deconstruction specifically because people associate it with like a complete break from Christianity. So she doesn't like using that word, but she acknowledged that essentially like, I've become slightly less legalistic in my approach to certain aspects of my religious practice, which is literally what deconstruction is.
I think deconstruction to them probably sounds like failure.
Yeah.
Like I feel like there's probably this aspect of like, oh, I've lost my faith. And because it's so ingrained in them that like, that's a reflection of you and like, you're just not praying hard enough or you're not doing this well enough. And so like,
just try harder.
I would imagine that like anything sounds better than being like, oh, I failed.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, and I think there's also an aspect of fear for Bethany. Totally. Again, we're going to talk about this in more detail in the main channel video, but she seems to be very much under the impression that it's a likelihood that Dave will return to Christianity somewhat soon.
You think that's her impression?
It seems like it. Like there's a lot of language that's being used.
Oh, like he'll come around.
He'll come around. He's just out. Yeah, he's like, you know, he's having doubts, but he'll come back basically. Yeah.
I'd be curious to what that looks like for them if
he does. I know. Like, but I also want to, this sounds like a weird thing to say. Like I just don't, it's like such a weird thing where you're like, now I feel like I'm defending these people that I've been really critical of.
Yeah.
But like in a way, I want to make sure that I am doing what I can to give them space to figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right. Because also too, like there is an aspect of like public, like publicity to the transition that they're walking through that has to be fucking uncomfortable.
I would imagine, you know? So, right?
And like I don't know that me being like bitch eating crackers kind of critical is like really gonna help things.
I feel like that'd be if people were like aware of us becoming polyamorous as we were doing it. Like,
oh my God.
That would have been.
Imagine.
Yeah. Like.
Oh, it's horrifying.
I don't want that.
Horrifying. Yeah. To have all of your like worst moments put on
display. I don't want it.
It'd be terrible.
I want no part of that. Yeah. But yeah, I would imagine exactly. Kind of a similar vibe. You know?
So I think there's just, for me, there's like a naive hope. And I know we've talked about this before too, that like there is an aspect of like naivete that I have about people in this niche. They're like, I don't know, like I just really do believe in like the goodness inside of people.
I know, you are such an optimist.
I feel like you have to be that way though to be like an effective clinician, to be fair.
Definitely. I would I would not be a good therapist.
Yeah, that's kind of like a byproduct of that. But there is just like, I don't know, like a sort of naive hope that at the core they are good people who have just been brainwashed by this really hateful doctrine. Also, for what it's worth, there is an interesting phenomenon that happens when your own very legalistic and vitriolic views get turned back around on you, right? Oh. Like, I experienced this in my own deconstruction,
yeah,
where, like, the values that you held other people, to be clear, even when I was a fundy light, I was never, like, an anti-queer,
no,
wasn't a bigot.
I actually did want to touch on that, too, because, like, yeah, even though they may be deconstructing, like, they're still, like, they would still choose to vote against,
yes,
you and
no,
your,
exactly. Yeah,
your
they community would rob me of my rights if given, yes, the chance. But to be clear, yeah, I was never a bigot. But, like, having that doctrine weaponized against you is very eye-opening.
Humbling, I would say, probably almost.
Yes,
or probably,
but also,
were,
like, again, this is one of those things where, like, it has the potential to go, like, a couple of different,
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, having that judgment leveled at me,
yeah,
was, like, very jarring. And I was like, oh, my God, is
have
this what I'm
it?
Like?
Yeah.
Jesus. Like, I don't want to fucking be this person. Fuck this. And like, I'm getting the fuck out of here because this fucking sucks, you know? Like,
yeah,
having the thing that happened for us specifically was somebody telling me that, like, you were not good for me to be around because you weren't going to, like, men's groups and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And people were trying to, like, attack your character because you weren't Christian enough or whatever, because you, yeah, weren't a Christian. And I was like, fuck you. Like,
yeah,
that's my husband. And he's a good man on the inside.
I am a good man.
You know? And so, like, yeah, I'm curious what Bethany's experience.
I forgot all that stuff was
going
on. Yeah. I
forgot they were
shaming
you. I mean, that's, like,
you,
a fairly direct parallel. Like, I'm very curious,
yeah,
how Bethany's going to respond to having, like, potentially even her family say these things about, like, you know, what if Dave's not a good man anymore? Like,
yeah,
it seems like
falling into sin or something.
Based on,
yeah,
that video, like, they seem like they do actually love each other, like, much more than they show the public.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that has the potential to be kind of radicalizing for her in, like, a positive way.
I'll take that over,
you
what
know?
Paul and Morgan are doing on their live streams and stuff.
Literally.
Where we're, like, actively.
Yes. But, like, if me shutting the fuck up about it means that it gives them space to sort out their shit and then potentially,
yeah,
share just, like, less fucking rancid bullshit on the internet.
God,
and to, like,
bar,
like, not target people specifically with their really hateful messaging,
yeah,
then, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm willing to take the L on that.
Is that mission and accomplished?
I kind of,
yeah,
you know? Like, not that, because again, like, to be clear, we'd never make content about fundamentalists with the intention of, like, getting Dave or Bethy to deconstruct.
No.
That was never a
delusion
that I had.
It's for everyone else watching.
Yes.
It's very much the thing of where, like, you talk, like, when people make, you know, they're like, oh, well, I can make fun of this person for being fat because, but, like, you're one of the,
yes,
good ones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and also that, like, if I shame you for being fat, that you'll want to be thin. Like,
yes,
no, that's not true,
yes,
right? And so, like, there was never a thought for me that this would be the end result of the content,
yes,
that we're making. It was more about, like, our community and the people who,
yes,
are, you know, sharing space with us.
And also, too, I think validating people's trauma from,
oh, absolutely,
organized religion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But if one of the end results of this timeline is them actually deconstructing and being less hateful, then, like, I'm not gonna complain about that.
I mean,
you know, I'm happy to shut the fuck up and get out of the way so that that's, like, a possibility, I,
yeah,
guess, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that was sort of a rabbit trail right at the very end there. But I guess all of that to say that we're just, like, making some changes.
Yeah.
And as our board of directors for
the
Snod Assembly,
yeah, you're
I would love to know what is going to feel like the best fit and, like, the most value and, like, the most tangible good for you in the community. And, like, how can I help you, basically?
Yeah.
Help
I love
me
that.
Help you by telling me what you want from me, because I think I've laid out my cards on the table,
yeah,
face up. And so, you know, I'm, you know, happy to do what I can within,
yeah,
the realm that we're in.
And I think that's all we can.
That's all we can
do,
really.
That's all we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's so nice to not platform these people, too, who really,
yeah,
like,
might feel nice.
Don't deserve a spot on your channel, for being,
yeah,
quite honest.
Yeah. Let us know what your thoughts and feelings are. I know,
yeah,
that this one might be a little bit contentious for folks. So let us know what you are feeling and also what your thoughts are about,
yeah,
the whole situation.
Also, come hang out with us in the Discord.
Yes.
We are in there all the time.
Yes.
We genuinely love hanging,
yes,
out. And I
y'all are cool as fuck.
You were body doubling the other day,
yes,
with everyone.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I do feel bad sometimes getting in the body doubling, though, because I feel like people join sometimes because they're like wanting to chit chat with me. And
that's,
I'm like,
fair.
We're supposed to be quiet.
We're
it's like
quiet.
A library.
No, it's like, don't talk.
But
here.
I do play video games on there a fair amount,
oh,
though.
We
I
are
do
in
like
there
hanging
all the
out in the just
Power
leisuring
now.
Game.
Yes.
Or the just leisuring channel. But, anyways, if you like the video, you can like,
yeah,
the video and subscribe and all those things. If you want to support.
Thanks for watching and hanging out with us.
Yeah. If you want to support the pod, you can leave us 5-star reviews and all those things. But otherwise, we'll see you on
next
Thursday
week.
For another pod, and then Friday for the stream, and then
don't
Saturday,
live stream.
Saturday for our regular scheduled programming. So.
Love it.
Those words didn't want to come out of my mouth, but it's fine. We love you the most, and we will see you next time.
Bye.